chapter 3. Do the best we can to make it all about Him.
Amen.
He made it all about you on Calvary.
Yep. Thank you, Lord.
Revelation chapter 3. I want to preface this message by saying that if you were in Sunday school and we talked about a few things, I want you to understand something. I want everybody to get saved.
Amen.
I don't care how wicked they are, I want them to get saved. Jesus Christ died for everybody.
Amen.
He paid the sin debt of this world if they just accept it. The other side of that coin is we're not going to act like weird is normal and call good evil and evil good. That being said, though, I spent a lot of time, I witnessed to witches, I witnessed to transgenders, I witnessed to what, I don't know what some of these things are I witnessed to. I hand tracks to people that are wearing pentagrams on their clothes, I hand tracks to people, you know why? Because they're lost and on their way to hell.
Yes, sir.
And the devil's got them deceived and he's got them all messed up, and but we were talking just a little bit ago about how the devil's attacking the kids. And that's the way the perverts, they don't reproduce the way God expects people to reproduce. They reproduce by recruiting, and the school system's in cahoots with them now. The public library, your tax money.
That's right.
Now, I don't care about taxes. Rendering to Caesar, what that was just Caesar's. Who cares? God will take care of the rest. But the thing is that they got these public institutions that... everything's allowed except truth. Everything's promoted except Jesus Christ. And I don't know. You do what you want. And I don't set up a bunch of rules. Well, I'm not a legalistic guy. I mean, you got a Bible to tell you what to do, and the Holy Spirit, you know. But if you're not reading your Bible and praying, sometimes you need a little bit of direction. I'm going to tell you, you ought to really consider kids and grandkids getting out of that mess. Or being real serious about how much you're teaching them and preaching to them and giving them Bible. Because the devil's preaching to them all day long. All day long, preaching lies to them. And just be careful setting them in front of the idiot box and letting them get their doctrine from the cartoons. You say, well, that can't happen. Oh, who do you think runs that mess? You think God invented it and he's sitting down there going, look at that, man, they're watching. No, be careful. I'm not saying abstain from everything. I'm just saying moderation and make sure you're giving them Bible. Because they're under attack. They're under attack. The devil hates clean. He hates innocence. He wants to destroy it. And the most innocent, clean thing you have is a little child. And the devil wants to write the script in their heart for their life. But God already has the script. God already has the script. And, you know, again, I'm not preaching solely against TV. We don't have one. I think it's puke. I think the commercials are pornography. That's why we quit watching it. I'm not, you know, do what you want, but I'm telling you, if you got little kids, guard their minds. Because the devil wants their heart. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand what's going on. I know that we're in a battle between good and evil. And everywhere you go, somebody's got something about the devil on them with their shirt. They buy it. They sell it. The rock concerts, this. And if you see or hear anybody talk about Jesus Christ, it's a weird thing anymore. It used to be all the time. If I hand a tract to somebody and they go, oh, I'm already saved. I'm like, praise the Lord. That shocked me. That's really, tell me how you got saved. And they tell me they got saved, you know. I'm like, good night, yeah, there's somebody that actually got saved. But most of the time it's, well, you know, we don't believe that, or we don't want to hear that, or I go to this church, and you know that church ain't preaching the gospel, what the church they go to. And, you know, every once in a while it's refreshing just to hear somebody else brag on Jesus Christ. Amen? But you got to watch what your kids watch. I'm not saying watch what your kids watch. Be careful. Be careful. Because they're being programmed against God. This world, and you know, the kingdom builders. I was watching a Bible study by a Bible-believing preacher the other day and listening to it, and then this kingdom builders commercial on, how would you like to go to from making $1,000 a month to $6 million a day and be a kingdom builder? Well, I'm going to tell you, the kingdom they're building is a kingdom for the Antichrist right now.
Right. Amen.
God is going to come back and defeat that mess and set up his kingdom.
Yes,
sir. So don't get drawn into that mess. Oh, that guy's one of those Joelstein sheep out there trying to get somebody to worship their money. How would you like to go from living paycheck to paycheck to making six figures a week? And most born-again believers, listen to me, born-again believers say, hey, man, I could probably miss church a Sunday or two for that. Amen. Amen. Can't serve God or mammon and mammon. I mean, even Clint Eastwood, one of his old movies, knew that. Amen. wasn't a good movie. Don't watch it. But you can't serve God and mammon. So you got to make up your mind who you're going to serve. This place is a dumpster turned upside down. And God has saw fit for some reason to leave us here and give us a chance to try to steal some people out of the trash pile before he burns it up. And he wants to do that. So, you know, I might call things what they are sometimes, and maybe I'm a little abrasive. A sodomite, call him a queer or a fag or whatever. I just want you to know it's not normal.
Right.
And I don't want you drawn into that mess. I don't want our church going around saying, well, that's it, they're born that way. No, they're born with an Adamic nature, a sin nature, and they choose to go down a path of hell instead of the path of truth. So I witness to them all the time. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I understand. I don't want to come across as we don't care about them. Because everybody needs Jesus Christ. But here we are in Revelation chapter 3, and I mean here we are in Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse number 14. It says, and to the angel of the Lord, and to the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, there we are in 2023 Christianity, quote unquote, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. How would you like to go from living paycheck to paycheck? Yeah, see, it's about the goods, not about the Lord. And have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness did not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. There's your Bible. Boy, you can get some vision through that. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, we understand, we've talked about this before, but we're looking at church ages, and we're looking at a church that was actually on this earth. We're looking at a spiritual church age. And if you get to Revelation chapter 4, we see John's a type of the church, and we'll look at that here in a little bit. But here we are in the last days of the church, the days of Laodicea. And that word Laodicea just means people's rights. It's man's rights. And, you know, boy, I'll tell you, it's just low-hanging fruit kicking Osteen, but not the good one, but the Joel. But I'm just telling you, this prosperity stuff, and that's what it is. The devil wants you to think that if you just have all the stuff the world can give you, you're right with God. And the opposite of that is generally the truth. You can have some stuff, but most people's stuff has them. Here we are at the last days of the church age. I ain't selling you a food bucket, because we're not at those last days, amen. You can go on the internet and buy those from Falwell. Not Falwell, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me for that. But the other guy is selling food buckets now. Anyway, he's out of prison selling food buckets, and he's doing well, I guess. But they talking about the last days, talking about the sixth seal, the fifth seal, the fourth seal, whatever seal, you know. And I'm glad I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not looking for a food bucket. I'm looking for a rapture, man. Amen. But here we are, and this place is... it's a nut house. It really is. I talked to a guy the other day, and he I think I told you about this. Maybe it was Wednesday. He doesn't believe. He believes they're a creator, but that's it. He doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. He doesn't believe the Bible. The Bible is a book that was made up by men. And he's telling me about all this this history of Africa and how there's 190,000-year-old buildings over there before, you know, way back before Jesus. And I said, they're over there now? He goes, oh, yeah. I said, boy, they don't make them like they used to. I can show you schoolhouses that were built in the 40s that are falling down, closed up. He's talking about 190,000-year-old buildings. He's talking about my faith, and I'm talking about, have you ever seen one of these buildings?
Yeah.
He said, no, but they're there. I said, that's some faith, man.
Yeah.
I've seen the Lord.
Amen.
You say, were you Paul? No, I opened it up. I opened the book
Amen.
Up.
Yeah,
right. You want to see the Lord? Open your Bible.
Yeah.
You don't want to see the Lord? Close the thing.
Yep.
Right. Amen? But here we are in the last days, the Laodicean church age. And you say, well, the world is waxing worse and worse, and perilous times are coming, all this crazy stuff. And, oh, yeah, I agree with all that. It used to be when I'm glad I got married when you didn't have to check birth certificates, see who you was marrying, what you was marrying, amen? Like Earl said, I can tell you in about 3 minutes, whether you're a boy or girl. You might not like it, but if you're having trouble, we can help, amen? But people's minds have been perverted, and this world is a mess. It is a mess. But see, he's talking about the church. He's not talking about the world. I mean, we expect the world to be a mess because the world's rejected Jesus Christ and the world doesn't want that Bible. We expect it to be a mess. But he's talking about the church. The church does not have to be a mess at the end. We could be raptured out of here in God's will. Amen. Amen. Look what he says here. He says, well, yeah, it's just that we're at the last days and nobody's going to hear it anymore and nobody cares and all that. But look what it says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door.
Right.
You know what he's looking for? He's looking for somebody to open the door for him. He's looking for you to open the door for him in your life. I'm not talking about whether you're lost or saved. I'm talking about whether you're following Jesus Christ and walking with him. If any man, any individual, he's not talking about a church house. I understand he's talking about the condition of the church, but he's looking at the condition of his people. So our preacher, he's abrasive. Well, you're going to have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one of these days. And you're going to have to give an account. And I'm going to have to stand and I'm going to have to give an account. And I don't want to give an account for lying to you. Amen. And if I have to lie to get the pews filled, we'll get used to the leg room. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
There's always a remnant. God always has a remnant of believers. In Israel, when they crucified their Messiah, he had a remnant. When they were burning, when Rome was burning people at the stake, there was a remnant. Amen. When Martin Luther stood up and nailed the 99 Theses to the Catholic Church door, there was a remnant of believers. 2023, this place, I'm ashamed to even call some of the stuff that's going on out there church. I want to be the remnant. I want to be the ones that are preaching it gun barrel straight that the world's not happy with.
Yeah.
Now, we're supposed to have a good rapport with the world. We're supposed to be able to talk to them. They're supposed to be able to look at us and say, they got something we need. I understand that. But I don't need what they've got.
Amen.
I tried a lot of what they had before I got saved. It ain't good.
Amen.
Amen. Come out from among you and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Here we are at the last days. Good's evil. Evil's good according to the world. Everything's inside out, upside down and backwards. And you got one group over here. I'm not a politician. I don't want to be a politician. I don't care less. I hope they vote the worst guy in for the next three elections. Just get us out of here quicker. Amen? Amen. I'll help them count the votes the wrong way. I don't care. I just want out of here. Amen. But you got one side saying, boy, if old Uncle Joe could just get his eggs together, he'd get it. You got the other side, well, Trump gets back in there. I'll tell you what, I believe Trump was allowed in there one time to move the embassy to Jerusalem, and he's done.
That's right.
I believe it. I believe God allowed that to happen one time and he's done. Yep. And I wouldn't, hey, it is better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in man. I wouldn't trust him any further than I can throw him.
Amen.
And he's a pretty good sized fella. Amen. You say, well, yeah, but look what he's done. Look what he hasn't done.
Yep. Right.
Look what he hasn't done. He's done more for Christianity. He's done some good things. The Lord used him to do some good things. Look what he hasn't done. He hasn't come out and said, look, some things I've done in the past were wrong.
Right. There you go.
Some things I said in the past were wrong.
Right.
But I'm saved. I'm born again, and I want to apologize to the Lord and this country and ask the Lord to bless this nation. Forget about what he's done. Think about what he hasn't done for a minute. Got a woman preacher says she led him to the Lord. What's that even mean? What's that even mean? I don't know whether the guy's lost or saved. I'm not judging his salvation. I'm just telling you what he hasn't done. He's always defended his filth and made an excuse for it. Oh, I mean, he's a good Baptist. Amen. Amen. You won't have any whiskers left when we're through shaving today, amen. Don't defend your filth. Get right with God. I heard a preacher talking the other day about, well, you know, the guy said, well, you guys don't have any business meeting in a church house because church houses aren't in the Bible. And he said, well, where's the chapter and verse for the car you drove in here? Well, you know, there ain't no altar in the New Testament. Well, there might as well not be. Nobody knows what it is. Nobody visits it anymore. Oh, we got a few folks in here that do. I'm not complaining about, you know, I'm just saying that in general, they go to church to feel good. Folks go to church to feel good and to put in their time. And then to go back out and live like the devil. And they forget the altar's not bound down to the pastor, it's bound down with the pastor. And asking the Lord to do something in your life and in the church. Laodicea, with the last days of the church, what do I think God would do with a church that was fully on board with his word and lifting up his son on a daily basis? Man, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. The reason God used men like Spurgeon and Moody and Billy Sunday is because they had a heart for the Word and a heart for Jesus Christ. Now, I understand Spurgeon didn't stick to the King James Bible. He got all goofed up. That's terrible. I think Moody probably ended right. But I'm saying God uses men that want to be used and allow him to use them. And women. Don't get excited, ladies. You're not preaching next Wednesday or anything like that. But of course, after today, you guys might vote me out and vote the woman in. I don't know. But here we are at the Laodicean church age, and everything is getting crazier and crazier. I'll tell you honestly, for personal reasons, I want out of here, but just for spiritual reasons, I want out of here.
Yeah.
I don't belong here.
Yeah.
God didn't save me to be stuck in this dumpster forever. He saved me to be with him forever.
Amen.
Amen. So here we are at the end of this church age. And I believe we're right here, boy. And what are we waiting for? What's next?
Yeah.
We're getting out of here. We're getting out of here. There's going to be a time, and I hope it's today, there's going to be a time when God, and I tell you, I believe the world is going to hear this great thunder like on the road to Damascus. And you're going to hear, if you're saved, if you're blood-bought, born again, if there's been a time, hey, look, if there's ever been a time when you realize that Romans 3:23 was about you, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you are a sinner. And you realize Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That you've earned death, you've earned hell, but Jesus Christ is offering you a gift. And you get over to Romans 10:9, says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And you believe that he shed his blood, you believe he rose again. And you get down to, and I don't care, you can rightly divide, whatever. I'm rightly dividing when I say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so sick of the brethren arguing over salvation. You realize you're a sinner, you realize Jesus Christ shed his blood, died, and rose again, and you call on him for forgiveness, you're saved.
Amen.
If you do it from the heart. Because it's a heart issue. It's not a mind issue. I'm not trying to tell you to change your mind about Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, change your heart about your sin and change your mind about what you're going to do about it.
That's right.
And trust Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Rapture comes. What next?
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what's next. I'll tell you what we'll use the. I'm not an artist, but we'll use this. I'll tell you what's next. We're going to do this. We're going to put it in red. This is not a good time. God is going to deal with the Jews. God's turning back to Israel. What's next? The rapture of the church, and then the next after that is the redirecting of God's focus on this earth. Right now, for whosoever. He's going to turn back to Israel and get Israel to turn back to him. Some. Do you realize what goes on in this period? I'm not talking about COVID. I'm not talking about COVID. I'm not talking about cancer. And I'm not making light of cancer. I'm not talking about migraines. I'm not talking about knee pains. I'm talking about what this book says. This book says what's next for the church. If you're saved, he's going to call you out of here. What's next? If you're not, he's going to redirect his focus and some things are going to happen. In Revelation chapter 6, we see a guy show up on a white horse and he's got a bow in his hand and no arrows and one crown. And guess what's following him? Oh, death and hell's back here. You get over to chapter number 9. Jimmy Swaggart's the guy I was thinking about earlier. He's selling food buckets. Sorry, I don't know why that come back now. Probably because he's probably selling them on the fifth trumpet here. Chapter 9, it says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. You remember, God seals his people. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The problem with Christians, they watch too much TV. They watch too many Hollywood movies about the Bible. You know, people read. First of all, 2/3 of that stuff, probably 90% of that stuff, come from Rome, the movies. Amen. And 100% of the people that direct and produce and do, they don't read this book. Probably all lost. They don't read the book. It doesn't match up with the Word of God. There's a sensual spirit trying to draw people away, and it gets into their movies. I don't watch that stuff. I haven't seen it, you know. I hear people all the time tell me about the new Christian movie coming out. I watched the one of the football team and all that stuff, Facing the Giants. Those were pretty good movies. They really were pretty good movies, pretty clean movies, fairly biblical. But there's a spirit in this stuff that's trying to draw you away from the truth of this book. See, we're in a battle. I don't think people understand there's a battle anymore. There's a spiritual battle going on. And the devil's trying to draw you over to his side. Say, well, I'm saved. Oh, he don't care if you're saved. He just wants you on his side while you're here. Say, well, how could that be? I'm a child of God. Well, that's a good question. But how's he do it? How's he get blood-bought, born-again people off track? By getting them to refocus from this book to the world. What's next? Well, the rapture's coming, and then this tribulation time's coming, and these, oh boy, if you read about these beasts that come up out of there, and then they're stinging men, and men are looking for death, and they can't find it. Could you imagine that, being stung all the time and just wanting to die, and you can't find it? You realize that people don't take the mark of the beast. They're going to, the Jews that are in Jerusalem, they're going to Judea, they're going to flee to the hills, and the folks are going to have their heads chopped off for not taking the mark and worship the beast. You realize that? If you're here today and you're lost and on your way to hell and you think you're going to make it through the tribulation by buying food buckets and hiding ammunition out in your backyard, you're wrong. You know, there's a verse in here that just scare the daylights out of you. You know what it says? He'll send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I believe, now this, I can't give you 100% sure on this timing, but I believe those people that reject Moses and Elijah's preaching, I believe that God's just going to send them a strong delusion. They're going to worship the beast and take the mark, and they're done.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. Because
yeah.
Like I said before, I believe Moses and Elijah in the first 3.5 years of that 7-year period. But you got a chance now. You got a chance right now. I mean, you can bow your head right this second and ask the Lord to forgive you and save you. Tell him, I'm trusting your blood, Lord. Ain't nothing else. Because that's coming. That rapture's coming, and everything's different after that. Everything's different after that. Well, what happens next? What do we do? What happens next? Well, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You really do. Because what happens next? Matter of fact, what's happening right now during this time? If you were John, you'd know this. There's the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going up. And this is what my job is, to try to prepare you for this. The judgment seat of Christ. This is not whether you're lost or saved. This is what you've done for the Lord and how serious you were about serving Him here. This is your works. This is your works. Any husbands in here? That's your job at home. You're supposed to be preparing your wife for the judgment seat of Christ. How do you do that? I've talked to guys all the time. Well, you know, we like your church, but my wife wants to go to the rock and roll church. Tough cookies. Go here and tell her to get her rear end down here. Or if God's got you somewhere else, go somewhere else. But lead. Amen. It ain't popular preaching. It ain't easy to do. But it's your job, because that's coming. Well, this is going on down here, part of that time. This is going on up here, judgment seat of Christ. Oh, man, there's going to be a wedding. See, God's calling His bride out here. And He's coming back. And I believe we're coming with Him. He's going to defeat the beast and the false prophet and cast him in the lake of fire. And then you're going to have a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. I'm going to put that in blue. So, well, that ain't literal. No, it is literal. It is literal. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. And the devil's bound for 1,000 years. And then He's going to loose the devil for a season. And the devil, after 1,000 years of perfect rule and reign under God Himself, the devil's going to go around the world and talk men into going against God. And they're going to get together, and God's going to allow them to get together in one place against Jerusalem, against God's people, and He's just going to burn them up. Like that. So what's next? Well, the church is a mess. We're getting out of here hopefully soon. And the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be a wedding. And down here, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. Boy, that last 3.5 years, good night. That's going to be a hell on earth. You say, well, that you're just talking. No, I'm not talking. Hell opens up and things come up out of it. This is not figurative. I don't care what the people on TV and the internet are telling you. That when you can take that Bible literally, take it literally. And that's going to happen.
Right.
People watch so much TV, they don't know what's real anymore. But that book's true. I mean, those things are going to come up out of hell and be stinging men, and men are going to beg for death. And you know what else they're going to do? All these things are happening. You know what they're going to do? They're going to curse God. They're going to curse God when he's trying to get them right. He's trying to wake people up. I don't care what you believe about COVID. I believe the last several years, God's been trying to get your attention. Amen. Why? Because if you're saved, he wants you to have a good time at the judgment seat of Christ. He wants you to be right with him. He wants to be able to hand you something back and say, here, you've done some things for me. And if you're lost, he wants you to get saved. So here we are in this upside-down dumpster, dumpster diving for souls, amen? Here we are. What do we do? What's next? Well, if you're lost, you need to get saved. You need to get saved because that rapture's coming. And you don't want to be here after that. You don't want to be here after that. You see what the devil wants to do? He wants you to not believe the Bible. He wants you to not take it literally. He wants you to explain it all away in your mind. And he wants you to think, I mean, where do you think these false doctrines come from? They're not just uneducated preachers. The devil's men are doing this. The devil's got preachers all over the place. God's still got a few around. I want to be on his side. But you know what the devil's preachers are doing? Oh, no, that's figurative. We replaced Israel. That's something that happened back in 70 A.D. No. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to rightly divide that book, and you've got to look at what that book says. And in Revelation chapter number 4, John says, come up hither. He goes up there. He's the type of the church. There's a rapture. The church isn't mentioned anymore for a long time, up through about 19. And you get up there, and you start going through this, and it's given an account after account after account of what's going on through that tribulation. I don't want anything to do with any of that, and I'm glad I don't have to go there. Because it's going to happen. That's what's next. What's next for you? What's next for you? I mean, you've got to make a decision. If you're here and you've never called on Jesus Christ, never trusted him, never put your faith in his blood that he shed, never believed he died, buried, and rose again, done it for you, and you've never asked him for forgiveness and salvation, you should do that today. Because that's coming. That's coming. You know, it breaks my heart to think that there are probably people in my family that if the Lord come back and called us out of here today, they'd be in that period. Well, it's two things we don't talk about, religion and politics. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to wish you didn't talk about the politics and wish you talked about the religion. You know, I found out about everybody that doesn't talk about religion and politics, they're always talking about politics. They ain't never talking about religion. Mm-mm. Because you can both be wrong on the politics and everything's all right. But you got to figure out what's right on religion. You got to stand. Amen. I'm not standing on religion. I'm standing on a relationship with Jesus Christ in this book. Man, what's next? 7-year tribulation time, 3.5 years, that last half, hell on earth. Jesus Christ comes back, whoops the devil, whoops the beast, the false prophet, casts the devil down there and binds him up for 1,000 years, and then perfect rule and reign where everybody comes and bows at the feet of Jesus. Well, if they want rain and food and stuff like that, they'll come worship Jesus. They might not like it because he's ruling with a rod of iron. Amen. But boy, the end of that, battle of Gog and Magog, he lets them get all gathered together in one place so the whole world can see the grand finale. And he just sends fire down and destroys them. Can you see that? Can you imagine that? I mean, whatever's left of Russia, they got their tanks over there, and whatever's left of this place, I don't know what's going to be called what, you know, I don't even get into that stuff. And we got our, you know, F-14s, F-16s, I don't know, whatever, B-22, bingo, whatever we got flying through the air, you know, and we got all this stuff going on. And then you got, we got China, they got a nuclear weapon, and Iran's got this, and you know, they got all this stuff together, and they're looking at Jerusalem, and boy, that 6-day war is going to get short, amen? They tried that once. Yeah. But the whole world's going to be against Israel, against Jerusalem. And God's going to go, phew, and judge them with fire. Y'all. This world is a mess. If you're here today and you're not saved, let me tell you what's next. You'll walk out that door. It doesn't matter if you're 15 or 150. You walk out that door, draw your last breath, and slip off into a lake of fire forever. Forever in hell. Or you can call on Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you and save you before it's too late. If you're saved, what's next? I'm going to tell you that rapture's coming. And that judgment seat of Christ is coming. And you're going to stand there by yourself. And you won't be able to point to me. You won't be able to blame your mama. You won't be able to blame your grandma. You won't be able to blame your third grade teacher. It's going to be you and the Lord. And you're going to give an account of your works and what you've done for Him. And whatever makes it through the fire, that's it. That's it. I hope and pray that everybody in here has a truckload through the fire. And then you say, oh, Lord, man, I thank you, but that's not mine, that's yours. I'll show you what should have been mine. Way down there, see that flame? That should have been mine.
Amen.
Look what happened. See that blood on Calvary? It's you, Lord. It's all you. If you live every day like that, you'll have something to come through that fire. Amen? Amen? So when you start hearing that, how would you like going from paycheck to paycheck and making six figures a day? Turn that stuff off and read your Bible. Amen? Read your Bible. Read Revelation. You know what happens after the battle of Gog and Magog when He burns everything down? He burns these people up. Check this out. Revelation chapter 20 says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. There he's bound, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. So there's 1,000 years, and people can't point to the devil and blame him, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. There's a millennial reign that some folks say, well, it ain't going to happen. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There's the people that come through the tribulation, beheaded. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's a 1,000-year reign of Christ that's in the Bible. It's not my opinion. It's in the Bible. My opinion happens to match up with the Bible, amen? But that's what the Bible says. And you go over here to verse number 11. After Jesus Christ defeats the devil and casts him in a lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet have already been for 1,000 years, verse number 11 says, and I saw a great white throne judgment. A great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about, if you're not saved, that's talking about you dying without Christ, going to hell. And then down the road, after this 1,000-year period, God calling you up out of hell and judging you and casting you into a lake of fire for eternity. That's what's next after that 1,000 years. If you're lost, that's you. That's you.
Yes.
Not your neighbor.
Right.
Not your grandma.
Right.
Not your mama or your daddy or your spouse, but you.
Yes.
And when he opens them books, he's going to be talking to you. And when you agree with him, because he's always right, and he casts you in that lake of fire, it's going to be you. And the one screaming in torment forever that can't get out will be you. Or you can call on Jesus Christ, trust him as your Lord and Savior. This whole world has been deceived by the devil. I believe 2/3 of the churches are lost and deceived by the devil. I believe a lot of Baptists sit in church every week and they're lost and deceived by the devil. I believe a lot of saved people live for the devil, are being deceived by the devil, and will have nothing come through the fire at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Don't let it be you.